not my world. In the palm of his hand, no need to fear. He's in command. Dark clouds may come and go, but this one thing I know, he's got my word. able to deliver. I'm glad I'm serving a God. I'm glad I'm serving God that hears me when I
it's been my experience in my life, in my 20 years of being here, that I serve a God who's able to defend. I serve a God who's able to deliver. And I want to be thankful for that tonight. I don't want to take that for granted ever, because I know there are so many other places I could be right now. I didn't always have a fire that I'd like to say that I have right now. It took a process, God taking me through something. Even though I've been here my whole life, I was not always here in spirit, I should say. I wanted to be somewhere else. I never understood why I was here, or why I served God, or why I even wanted to be here. But God held me through it anyway. I'm thankful to say that I made a lot of mistakes, and from what God has brought me through, where He has me today, it's hard not to shout about it. It's hard not to be excited and thankful about it. It's hard not to dance for Him, to praise His name. I didn't know if I was going to talk about this or not, but after what happened just now, and when the brothers and the sisters got out and danced for God, and it seemed in a way relevant, maybe not, but I've been thinking about this scripture for a little while, for a few weeks now, probably. I gave it some thoughts. This might not be how it would typically be interpreted, but when I read this scripture, I felt this is what it meant to me. This is what I felt like I was getting from it. It had to do with it was about David, and when David danced before the ark, when he danced and he praised God and danced before the eyes of the Lord, and I'm sorry, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting at verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And if you skip on to verse 20, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before my father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play before the Lord." And the last verse says, "Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." Now, it may not be relevant at all, but I was thinking about it, and I don't have as much knowledge of the Bible as most of the brothers up here, but if I'm correct, if I've been listening correctly, Brother Smith, you said that in the book of Revelations, it talks about the woman bringing forth a man-child, and I believe you said that represents the church bringing forth Christ, and Christ manifesting himself through the church. Well, I was thinking of that, that woman bringing forth that child, and I thought, it said the daughter of Saul had no child unto the day of her death, and I thought to myself, you know, if I see, you know, I love this church, I love this body, I love what we have and the vision that we have, but what if I got a bad attitude over something? And I saw some people, I went to a meeting where I was here, and I saw some people out dancing before God and giving Him praise. And I thought to myself, look at them. Look at those foolish people out there making a fool out of themselves. Or it doesn't even have to be that. What if somebody, I speak specifically of, I'm referring to somebody who's trying to live for God and trying to do the right thing. And I may not necessarily agree with what they're doing, and I despise them for what they're doing. Well, look at them. Who in the world do they think they are? Someone gets up, says something, or sings a song. I may not like what they say, or I may not like the way they sing, or I despise them for that. I think they just need to sit down and just leave it up to somebody else because they don't know what they're talking about. But if I despise somebody for now, you know, there are some things you just don't do. Of course, I'm not saying you should support everything everybody does in the world. But what if I'm going to despise somebody and hate them and think so badly of them for what they're doing and trying to serve God, what is to stop God from making me unable to bring forth that child, from making me unable to manifest Christ through me and through my life? If I'm criticizing somebody for trying to do the right thing, how can I try to do the right thing? The number one thing, Brother Smith said something about it today, but I have to love my brothers. I have to love my brothers and sisters. If they're doing something, if I'm doing something that you don't think is right, I would want you in love to come to me and talk about it, or to go to Brother Smith and have him talk to me about it. But don't hate me for it. If I'm doing something wrong, if I'm trying to do right but I'm in the wrong, don't hate me for it, and I don't want to hate you for it. I'm guilty of some. I believe we're all guilty to a certain extent of passing judgment on people, and judging them without knowing the full case, because you know, I believe somebody said to me, you don't win. Doctrine is a good thing, it's a beautiful thing, but doctrine is not always what wins somebody to God. It is love and showing them God's love through you. Doctrine's a beautiful thing. I got to be honest, when I'm here and now that I have a vision of the body of Christ, doctrine means so much to me, to seek the truth in all the lies that are out in this world, to finally reach a perfect truth and have an understanding. I love that. But at one time when I was not so excited about that, doctrine was not what would hold me here, and doctrine is not what would bring me closer to God. When I was in that state, it was your love for me that held me here. It was God's love through all of you, through the ministry, through everybody in here that kept me here and held me in here. Perfect example of that is when I was I just graduated from high school. I was 18, and something happened in my life, and I was starting to slip, and I was not in a very good condition. I was discouraged, and I went to the campground after my high school my senior year, and the campground in Kentucky, Shepherdsville, Kentucky, and I had the worst attitude probably out of everybody there. I probably didn't acknowledge it at the time, but now that I look back, probably my attitude said, I'm in a bad mood and I want everybody in this building to know it. I want everybody to know how unhappy I am and how unsatisfied I am with my life and with this church and with this body of people. And one night I went out to eat with some people at a Sonic. We went off the grounds to go eat, and I came back onto the grounds. It was past midnight. They had a curfew there that they wanted people to be in bed by if they could, so the ushers wouldn't have to be out all night. But when I got there, it was a little past curfew. I thought, oh, you know what? It's no big deal. I'll just park my car up in here. I'll go up to my room quickly. Nobody'll notice. And it won't be a problem at all. I was heading up there, and suddenly I heard a sound coming from that area between the tabernacle and the dining room. I didn't know what it was. I almost just went to my room, up to my bed in the dorms, and I wanted to see what was going on. So I went out there, and I saw most of the people were still there. And something had happened, and people were out between the two buildings, some laying on the ground, some holding each other, some praising God and in the spirit, and God was really moving. And I don't know what happened, but I felt suddenly a great sense of condemnation come upon me. And I felt God started dealing with me, and he opened my eyes and made me see what kind of attitude I had and what kind of person I was being like. And I wanted to curl up in a ball in a corner and hide from everybody because I was so ashamed. And I was standing out there watching what was going on. And some of you here might know him, Brother Paul Manrique. from one of the churches in Texas. He comes up to me, says, "Hey, brother, how are you doing?" I said, "Good, how are you?" And he says, "Can't complain. It's really amazing what's going on out here." I said, "Sure is." We were kind of quiet a little while. He looked at me and said, "Brother, would you like us to pray for you?" I said, It's okay. I'm fine. I'm fine right here, just how I am." He said, "Okay." A few more seconds goes by. He says, "You know we love you, don't you, brother?" And just those simple words touched my heart, and I never forgot those words from him. You never know the difference you're going to make in somebody's life just by showing them a little bit of love. And, you know, I love what we're feeling here. And, you know, there may be times, you know, we can be here in physically, and we could be here. But, you know, like I said, you win people with love. Do you know when I'm here, now, by God's grace, I will never be in a situation like I used to be again. I want to have a desire for the rest of my life to get closer and closer. But if I was ever in a situation where I slipped again, I got discouraged, somebody offended me, and I wasn't feeling this way anymore, it would take love to win me back. You know, you can win people to church, but sometimes you have to win them back with love, even when they're here physically. I just felt like God was dealing with me on that for a while, and wanted to share it. I'm thankful for what God's doing here. I want each and every one of you to know I love you very much. You all mean so much to me. Every last one of you here in this building, y'all have shown me love even when I didn't show you any love. If I have ever offended any one of you here in this building, I want you to know it was never my intention to do so, because you're my brothers and sisters, and I want you to know that I want to be here not to tear you down, but to lift you up and to love you if you ever need love. Bless the Lord. I'm thankful to be here.
Excited to be here, you know, something about a youth service that lifts me up, takes me back to a longer ago time now. It's getting more and more every day, I guess, to tally. It happens to the best of us, right, if we're blessed. But I was just thinking about the service we had today, the words that Brother Smith brought forth, giving me an appreciation for the body of Christ and where I am and what I'm a part of, and the songs that were being played, you know, that song, "They That Wait Upon the Lord," has got such a strong meaning for me. It has, there'll be times as I'm traveling around the state of Arkansas doing things with my job, my mind starts, you know, if I start getting down in that valley spirit and just start looking at things, maybe a different perspective and the way I shouldn't, I'll put Brother Linger in, I'll put "They That Wait on the Lord," and if I just listen, I just meditate on that, I realize that my God is real. He can take care of any situation, no matter if it's a real condition in my life or a perceived one, because those will get the better of me sometimes. And I was thinking about that and some things that were said today, and I want to just bare my heart a little bit. I was thinking about that song, and we know where that it comes from, Isaiah, I believe it's 40. Let me see. It's, Isaiah 40, and actually before that a little bit, Isaiah 40 and 25, I was thinking about, I was relating this also to the songs that we were just singing a little bit earlier, you know, about many things about tomorrow. You know, I don't understand. There's some things about today I don't understand. There are some things about yesterday I don't understand. But I know who does. I know whose hand I want to have my hand in. I know who I want to look to. I know where my help comes from, Sister Crow. And what that comes from is it comes from leaning on Him. It comes from me acknowledging Him in everything that I do, in every path I take, in every door I go through. God, is this your will? Is this what you want for my life, Lord? Not what I want, but what do you want, Lord? What do you need me to do? How can I be a servant? Like Caleb is saying, showing that love to that one other person, having that smile on my face, what can I do, Lord? I was just thinking about that with that song, how I, you know, I don't have the answers. You know, what if anything has taught me that, it's being a father. You know, I would love to say I have all the answers, but I'm not going to lie to my children. But I will tell them, you know what, if I don't have the answer to a question you ask me, we'll get it together. And I believe that that helps them to build confidence in me. But in Isaiah 40 and 25, I was thinking, I thought in one of the other songs that we were singing also was relating about how great God was. But to whom then will ye then liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things? This is the God we serve, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. I don't understand the greatness of the universe. I took astronomy in college, and it was by the grace of God that I passed it. Because I was thinking, oh, this is going to be about stars and constellation. And next thing you know, it was chemistry and physics and all sorts of stuff that I went, wrong class. I'm an English guy, not a science guy. I passed with the B, and let me tell you, that was as big as Moses crossing the Red Sea. So I was very thankful. But this is our God. He's the one. He's the one that understands all this. He can snap his finger if he even needs to do that, and a star would be born. So I just, you know, I'm looking at this and thinking, how great is my God? The greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Okay, and then go on to verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? And that takes me back to think about Elijah. When he had those 450 prophets of Baal and Asherah, and they were going back and forth, and they were all out there. If you want to talk about someone, though, Caleb, in this case, these were, as Brother Smith was saying, they were goofballs, okay? They were out there cutting themselves and making a fool of themselves over what? Over a rock or a wooden idol. You know, I mean, imagine this, okay? I'm going to give you guys a little visual here. Oh, great pulpit! You are great and worthy of being wood. It's a pulpit. It's wood. It's dead. Not my God. Not your God. We serve a living God who is worthy of all praise. The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. That day with Elijah, Sister Dolores, Elijah wasn't worried. He was picking on them. Hey, why don't you maybe set your iPhone and set your alarm? Maybe you can wake your God up. Hey, yell a little louder. Hey, maybe he went on vacation. Go to Disney World. Check it out. You know, he was telling them, you're serving nothing, so you're praying to nothing. And guess what? You get nothing. I'm just saying. There is no searching of his understanding. Today, when you were playing that song, God showed me some stuff that I can't relate to right now. It's personal. But he showed me his hand. He showed me why that I was waiting on certain ways. Why I had to, in order to get what I felt he was going to bless me with, or how he was going to take care of me. Today I got the understanding of why. I don't still know why I have to learn this way, but I understood why he was making me wait. And it's like being that child, it's being that father, and you know, you're doing for your child, and you have the understanding. You know what's better for that child. They don't know, but they have to learn to trust you. They have to learn that daddy and mama, they're trying their best. They're going to take care of me, my parents, whoever it is. And if I can do that as a child to my parents, I want to lift up my hands and say, God, I don't understand, but I know you're taking care of me, Lord. I know he cares more than my parents at Dolores. I know he cares more than anyone's to Crow. He gave his only begotten son so that I could have life. How could I ever doubt his faithfulness? He giveth power to the faint. When you're hurting, when you're down, when you're depressed, when you don't feel like you can go that extra mile, let me tell you, God will help you go 2 extra miles. God is that strength. That's where we draw our strength from. When we can connect up to the mighty God who has created all, what do we have? You got a mountain? Let me tell you, I got a God that created that mountain. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint. You know, it's one of the problems of youth is that, and I'm not having as much of a problem with it anymore, but because I'm not so youthful. The problem is that in our own strength, you know, I'm vulnerable. I'm 10 foot and bulletproof. I got this. And then as we get older, then we realize, I ain't got this. As Brother Smith said today, all right, Lord, let me give you them reins back. My bad, I'll let you drive again. I'm not even going to say a word. You tell me what exit to take or whatever, we're going there. You know, that's the kind of relationship I want to have with God and realize, and I am, as I believe in maturity, the more and more I want to trust in him and say, God, I just love you. I'll just trust that you know which direction I need to go. I just need to open my ear. I just need to be quiet and listen for what God is trying to tell me. I can't, sometimes I may not be able to help you. I can't even lift my hand out for you if I don't listen for what God is trying to tell me. I want to have that kind of heart. I want to be like Elijah finally, after all those things happened against the mountain, and then he heard what? That still, small voice talking to his heart, telling him what was going to happen. That's what God did for me today. The young men shall utterly fall, and then the verse we know, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord. And you know, Brother Talley talked to us a little bit today when he was saying he's heard different aspects of not just waiting. You know, there's a lot to waiting. Is actually, it's not that is not passive. Take my word, okay? Waiting is not passive. It takes a lot of action. It has taken a lot for me to understand how to wait. You know, as I'm waiting, literally, you know, okay, God, really? Are we done now? You know, are we done now? You know, are we done? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I mean, that's why I feel like I'm talking to God like, okay, God, is it today? No. Is it today? You know, and meanwhile, God's like, it's okay. You know, and he's ever patient. Unlike me, when my kids, okay, if you say that one more time, I will stop the car and turn around. Which I'm not going to because we're 400 miles from where we started from. So it's just, you know, an empty threat. But, and you know, I'd say anyway. I'm just saying, though, waiting is not something that is just, okay. There's action behind it. I have to continually be seeking God. Because as I'm waiting for God, that means in my own nature, I'm not seeking my own will right then. I'm not seeking to do something in my own strength. I'm waiting on the Lord. That doesn't mean I just sit there with my, you know, twiddling my thumbs, right, Brother Thompson? It means that I'm actively still seeking him. God, I'm waiting, but I'm waiting because when you say go, I'm sprinting. You know, when you say jump, I'm saying, whoa! Okay, wait, was that high enough? That's what I'm doing. I'm moving for him because that's what he wants me to do. He wants me to be ready. And that's why I'm waiting. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know, I don't want to fly with the turkeys. I don't want to be out there, go, 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 what's going on? No, I want to be able to soar. I want to be able to catch those updrafts. I want to be able to get higher in God today. And that's being an eagle. That's being lifted up on these wings. On this being in my life. On this taking me to higher heights. On this, as Brother Smith has said, taking us to a new level. Hey, I'm ready for that. How about you? I say I'm ready for it. But God may say, wait. You think you're ready, but take my word for it, son. It would break you. And you know what? I have to look at myself and say, Yeah, you're right, Lord. Because, Brother McGowan, like you said before, when that Spirit comes down on me, when I feel that sweet Holy Ghost, there comes a point that I'm like, Lord, I want more, but if you give me more, I'll die. I can't take much more of this in this body. But, oh, I want to be able to. I want to be able to feel that Spirit where it's flowing out and touching those around. Because sometimes it just drops you to your knees and you can't help but just, you can't even look up. You just fall down in God's feet. I want to have those wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Even when it's hard, even at the hottest part of the day, I never had the opportunity to be in the military. I've heard many of those stories. I had enough trouble just running wind sprints in the gymnasium. So I can imagine what it was like in, you know, 115 degree weather like he was talking about. But that's the thing, running. I know in our minds, or in my mind, it's not a physical run. But it's that continual journey. It's that continually moving forward toward God. You know, it also depends upon the terrain. If you're on a flat surface, you just feel like you can tear that up. And when you're running, you're making progress. But all of a sudden, when there is that valley, okay, you can't, you know, I can't deal with running downhill. I mean, you're like, you know, for me, it's like, okay, my feet are ever having trouble getting, I'm like, okay, you know, so you end up walking because otherwise it don't work for me. I'm sorry, I'm not coordinated like that. I'm sorry. Okay, don't judge me, okay? Then running uphill, though, you might be giving it a sprint. But if someone looks at you, it's more like, I'm just working on the railroad. Because you're going up a hill like this. That's that thou shalt run and not be weary. And then there's sometimes, you know, I want to slow down. And I just want to walk. But I'm walking with Jesus. I'm talking with Him. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's taking me that step, that next step. Because sometimes in my walk, I find if I can just take that next step forward, that's where He wants me. I'm not running that day. I'm not jumping that day. I'm just saying, Lord, I'm putting one foot in front of the other. Just help me. Just take me one more step, Lord. Just don't. I know you're not going to let go, but you don't let me go, Lord. Don't let me pull back. Just hold on tighter, Lord. That's the relationship I want. That's how I want to lean on Him in all my understanding. He doesn't give me that opportunity just to say, I'll give you 75, you take 25, Lord. He said, in all my ways acknowledge Him. And then He gave me a promise, and He shall direct my paths. He didn't say, I'll think about it, brother. He didn't say, okay, well, maybe. He said, He shall direct my paths if I will just call out and acknowledge Him. If I'll just keep walking that road. And these things have just been on my heart. I just want to get up here tonight and say how much it is a privilege to be in the body of Christ. It is a privilege to be in this church, in the Little Rock Assembly, because I want to be one of those lively stones. And I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I know I've heard this taught on before. It has been a long while back about when stonemasons, they can tell a lively stone with a like there's some little instrument that they hit it with, and it gives a certain tune. Am I right on that? Like a ding. Okay. I don't want when God is doing that to see if I'm a lively stone for it to go bong or you know clunk, clunk. Thud. Yeah, that's it. Thud. What's that mean? It means there's no life. It means it's gonna crumble under pressure. It means I cannot be a pillar in the house of the Lord. And that's all of our goals here. Not one of us is called for a new earth experience. Not one of us is called to be in that second resurrection. We are called to the bride of Christ. Let me say that again. We are called to the bride of Christ. And that's our calling. If God says I can, I know I can. And that's my vision today.
God is great.
church tonight. Colonel Glenn, Little Rock, Arkansas, in the United States. I am so thankful that God has planted me here and he's given me an opportunity to hear these good words tonight. Caleb and both Brother Caleb and Brother Phil both tonight said very great things that just really spoke to me. And all day it's been a great spirit. The Lord's really, I really feel blessed today to be in the house of the Lord. And I was just thinking as that song was going on and the songs earlier, my God is able to deliver. How great is my God? He is my God. He's not only my God, but he's also your God. And I'm thankful for that tonight. You know, I don't want to let a moment go by. I say that a lot. I don't want to let a moment go by without thanking the Lord and praising the Lord and getting him incorporated into my daily life, you know. And I was just thinking of, you know, Caleb was talking about his experience at the campground. And I remember that campground. And we went to eat after service, and it had been a good service. And a lot of times the youth will all kind of gather around in between the dining room and the tabernacle there. And they will, I remember walking out, and there was about five or six people there. And I knew a couple of them, and we were talking. Well, they all decided to start singing. And to be honest, I can't even tell you the song that we sang, that we started with, because within a matter of 5 or 10 minutes, there was probably the majority of the youth that was still in the dining room had came out to join us. And then within the hour, we were all slayed out on the grounds there. And those are great memories and great experiences in the Lord. And they help us to get to the next level and to the next step. And there were just many things going over in my mind about that. And yes, it's not just that waiting. It's not just standing still and waiting, but it is seeking God's will. You know, I can stand here and wait and do nothing, or I can stand here and wait and I can be seeking God, and I can be reading his word, and I can be talking with him. Like Brother Phil said, it's walking and talking. He's with us every day of our lives, and I'm just so thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for the words that we've heard and the spirit that's been here, and I can't say it enough. I'm so thankful. I am blessed. It is true. It's not just words. It's not words. It is true. It is my heart, and I'm thankful tonight that God has given me that, because I didn't always have that thankfulness. There was a time not too long ago that I wasn't here. I was here physically, but mentally, I wasn't here. I went through that, and I think a lot of people go through that, and as you grow up, you'll go through that. And, you know, but if you stay, if you keep your heart after the Lord, and if you talk to him, if that relationship is there, it's not just a Wednesday, Sunday thing. It's not just, you know, whatever night that you decide, I'm all of a sudden I have this relationship. I'm going to seek a relationship with the Lord. We've talked about that before in Bible study about if we have a friendship, if me and Zach are friends, I'm not just going to blow him off every time he calls me, or I'm not just going to ignore him or whatever, but I'm going to be actively seeking that a friendship with him. I'm going to be calling him up and checking on him and things of that nature, and do you want to hang out? And I want to do that with the Lord. Of course, now I'm not going to go and meet you at the mall, Lord, something like that, but I am going to talk to him. And it may not be some big, huge, long, drawn out prayer, but it is, Lord, good morning, Lord. Thank you for another day, and thank you again for another wonderful Sunday service. I know the service is still going on, and there's much more that could come of this service. I know the Lord may not be done here tonight, and there's a lot that we could do, and I'm thankful for that, you know, and I just want to express that once again.
I'm thankful to be here tonight. It's good to be here, and it's always good to see everybody again. And I'm thankful. I know who holds tomorrow and who holds my hand. I'm thankful to know that. This weekend I went to a conference, and also I just came up here. I've been sitting here thinking all day, trying to gird up my mind all week, trying to think, what am I going to say? A lot of things are going through my head about being steadfast, about keeping my feet on solid ground. But no matter how much I researched, no matter how much I prayed about it, nothing stuck. I don't know, man. Sometimes God works with me that way. And then a lot of times he don't start working with me until about 5 minutes into the youth service. Then like, that works out. And I wish I could study that a little bit more. And then, but anyway, I went to this conferences meeting this Saturday. And it was 8 to 2, not paid. I didn't want to be there. But they were talking about all the new stuff coming this year, you know, with Obama and everything. And this, they're going to start cutting charges and everything. And they started coming out the new medical coding. And the current medical coding, there's 14,000 codes for everything. You know, GI, cardiovascular, everything. But this new code coming out in October has 140,000. I mean, it doubled. I mean, I don't want to think about it. There's a code for everything. And most of the time, you got a cataract, you say, okay, whatever the code is, 366.16. But now, how do they get the cataract? Boom, boom, with all these different codes. No code is the same. And if you hurt your eye, okay, how'd you do it? What'd you hurt it with? Where were you at when it was done? They actually have a code for a skateboard. And that's how you hurt your eye, by falling off a skateboard. And that's one after for a parrot poking in the eye. There's that many codes. How'd you do it? Was it done maliciously? It's everything. It's terrible. And you're looking forward to the future, you just get down. And it's not how you want to spend a Saturday. You sit and you get down, you get depressed, you get, oh, why? Why make things harder? Why? And I was all heavy on my mind. A lot of things were on my mind this weekend that were just weighing me down. Things that just buried my heart. Things I just didn't, I mean, oh, why do I keep going sometimes? My feet are getting heavy. I'm getting tired. You know why? I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I knew why I got tired. Thanks for laughing at me. I feel kind of better now because you're laughing at me. but you know, when I came into this service, this morning service, I started thinking about being steadfast, but staying strong, staying on a strong rock, a solid rock. And whenever I think of steadfast, for some reason, I always think of a lighthouse. I don't know why. It's one of those things. When I think of grits, I think of corn. I just got this weird memory like that. I think of a lighthouse looking over a sea. You know what? Have you ever seen a lighthouse collapse? I haven't. I don't think I want to either. But whenever I think so, I think of something steadfast, something that's not going to move, something that's not going to go away. And I think about that. I know who holds tomorrow. You know, that's, with this kind of thing, in this church, you know, you get in the routine. You sit there and, you know, I come to church. I come back to church. I do this. I do that. And you know what? You're not always steadfast. And I'm not always steadfast. I mean, something that's really been working on me lately is being steadfast, is actually taking a part, actually doing more. And when those winds are blowing against that lighthouse, it's steadfast. When things are going around you aren't going right, it's still steadfast. And you know what? I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. I know who's got my back. I know my brothers, my sister got my back. I know God has got my back. And I'm thankful to know that. And sometimes you lose perspective of that. You go around life, you go through your routine, you go to work, you come back, you do this, you call so-and-so, you do this, you do that, and you forget, what's my greater purpose? Why am I really here? And I just get lost in, like, what am I supposed to do, God? Am I supposed to sit here my whole life and just sit in the same pew, do nothing? But then you take a step back. As I take a look at the picture, went to Two River Bridges, or Crystal Bridges up in Fayetteville a couple years ago, I just got real close to a picture, I didn't know what I was looking at. Everything's just so blah, it's terrible. You take a step back, you get a bigger perspective of it. You take another step, you get perspective of what you're doing and what you're working for. And today's service is one of those things, it was a step back for me. It's saying, okay, this is what we're working for. This is your perspective. And I was tired, and I was weary. You know, something about today's service strengthened me. I can't tell you just what, but something strengthened me. And I'm just thankful for that. I'm thankful. I know the master. I know who holds my hand. And I was, a couple of the last youth meeting or ministers meeting we had, it was real quiet. It got real quiet all of a sudden, and man started speaking in tongues. And for some reason, how long ago was that youth ministry meeting? Like 4 years ago? It was a while back, and even now, just talking about it makes me want to cry. But these guys start speaking in tongues, and yeah, you didn't know what to do. Nobody was getting up, and then he stood up and started speaking in tongues. And a brother got up right beside him and said, started interpreting. I was sitting on the back pew, and it always stuck with me. And he started interpreting, and he kept saying the same thing over and over again. This is still my kingdom. This is still my kingdom. No matter what's coming at me, this is still my kingdom. This is still God's kingdom. No matter what's coming at us, no matter what wind is coming at us, this is still his kingdom. This is something that he's still my God. He's still my Lord. He's my Jehovah Jireh. He's something I work for. He's something that works deep down inside of me. He's something I lift my hands to. He's somebody's hand I grab onto and lifts me out of the sand. When I'm tired and I'm weary and my feet get heavy, I must go on. I must go on. When I'm tired, I keep going down. I keep going down further. And the weight of the world is bearing down on me. You know what? I must go on. You know, sometimes he gives me a little push. I've used the illustration before. Have you ever tried to pick up a dog or a kid? who didn't want to be picked up. And they're dead weight. I mean, you ain't going to pick them up. I don't want to be like that towards God. I want to, when he tries to pick me up and help me, that I'm not fighting. When I lift my hand out of the sand, he grabs it and lifts me out of that sand because he loves me. He looked down one day and thought of me and said, he's going to be a part of my body. I want him in this church. I'm going to give him this opportunity to work in this. And that's one thing. I want to be a pillar. I want to work towards something better. And while I'm still working on it, I got lots of imperfections. Lots of imperfections. Things I need to work on. My attitude, for all one. But things I need to work on. You take a step back and thinking, why am I working on my attitude? Why am I working on this? Why am I working on that? And it comes straight down because I want to be a pillar. I want to work towards, I want to help God's people. I want to lift your hands up. One of my favorite illustrations, when Moses was fighting, I can't remember who he was, the Israelites were fighting. He raised up his hands and they started to prevail over the battle. And his hands got weary. And his hands started to go down. I know it's Aaron, I can't remember the other one. Caleb and Joshua. They lift up both his hands and they started to prevail over the battle again. Aaron and her. Started lifting, they started to fail the battle. That's what I want to do for my brothers and sisters. That's what I want to do for God. Is help lift up their hand. Help them overcome whatever they're going through. Whether sometimes you have no idea what effect you have on people by just talking to them. You don't think you're doing much. By just talking to them, being friendly, like they were talking about, showing love towards visitors, showing love towards people you meet in everyday life, you're lifting up your hands. You're lifting up other people's hands. And that's what I want to work for, is to lift up each other's hands. Lift up everybody's hands and then work towards something greater. I really am thankful. I'm really thankful for the Spirit. I hope we have a good rest of the good service.
Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. On the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, and I promise him that I would serve until I die. Well, I'm
Hallelujah.
Well, I hope you're
staying on the field. I hope we do more for God this year than we've done last year. I think we ought to have that in our heart anyway, to accomplish more and reach out to others. Really like to get you to help me petition the Lord to reach out and share this message and this vision with others. See if the Lord would add to our labors and give us more workers. We need to pray. Jesus said that. He said, the harvest is truly great, but the labors are few. Pray, he said, for labors. So I think we ought to pray. God, would you give us some more help? Send us some help. And then I think that it ought to be in some of our minds. Everyone's not called to do the same thing. But I think there's some people that God is called to reach out to others and bring other people to the kingdom of heaven. And I hope that we are more diligent at that this year. This sister that was here today with her son Jason, Keisha, Spencer is his last name. I don't know what her last name is. It is Spencer also. And then his friend, Shanice, is that right? I have their address and their phone number. If some of you, I think it'd be good, maybe some of you just call them and let them know. We were glad you were with us Sunday. I visited with her a little bit at dinner time, and she said, we'll be here next Sunday if nothing happens. So I think everyone that comes around here, we are to befriend them and love them and let them know that they're appreciated. And we are to keep in contact with them. You know, when you come to a different church, it's strange, and you don't know the people, and so you're not knowing just how exactly to become a part of it. But if they befriend you and just keep contacting you and take you out to dinner or just call you on the phone, let you know they were glad you were there, and that can make you feel more comfortable and feel more like a part and that you're wanted. I like to feel like I'm wanted. You know, if I didn't feel like y'all wanted me here, I'd have probably left by now. But some of you just kept acting like you're special. We want you here. You know, and I think we ought to treat everybody here that way, at least some of the time we ought to be expressing those feelings towards one another. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. I also want to mention before we go home, the Dominican trip in May. I think it's the 23rd, or I don't know if Wednesday is the 23rd of May. Let me look right quick for you. It's the 22nd of May for the Dominican trip, and it's probably, I think we ought to be thinking around $1,000 per person to go round trip on that trip, and that would cover everything and have money to spend while you were there. And I really believe that we can probably raise money for almost anybody that wants to go. If you want to be a part of, if you can't go, if you just say, I'm willing to help raise money for those that can go, I think it's possible. The Wichita Church, Brother Green tells me there's over 100 people in Wichita going to that meeting. And they're raising money. They've already raised probably $15,000 for that trip. And the first time I taught, I said, how many people you think you're going? He said, the whole church is going. Everybody in the church wants to go. I said, well, surely they won't all go. He said, well, they all say they're going. I said, well, that'll probably dwindle down some. He said, well, then there's, you know, if it cuts it in half, it'll be 100. I said, okay. Well, I don't know if we can handle all of that, but I'll guarantee you if it happens, we're going to handle it. The Lord will make a way, I believe. And they're excited and they're busy raising money and coming up with ideas. The first thing they did last fall, and they've got plans for doing it again this spring. The first thing they did back in, I think, September, they go around to businesses and tell them, look, we're going to have a free car wash. Our youth is going to wash cars for free, and they will hand out a community packet with your brochures in it, whatever you want us to hand out. If you'll give us a donation for our youth to go to the Dominican Republic. They raised $7,000 in donations the very first thing they did and had a car wash. And they've got another one planned for the spring. And then they've done other things. They've had cooks, you know, they've had cookie sales. I'm not the best auctioneer in the world, but I have raised some money auctioning off pastries and cakes and things like that. Well, you can just ask the people. How many people's paid $100 for a cake in an auction that I auctioned off a cake or a pie? Sister Bryant paid $100. Two. How many paid for $50? At least $50. Brother Jerry, you did? Sister Inez, didn't I get some of your money? Two or three of them. Yeah. So if you want to hear me auction off something, well, you just get to having a sale and I'll just get to auction it. Probably, but I ain't giving you no free samples now. You know. Anyway. We can raise money, and I don't care if you're, how old are you, Brother Crow? I think you're the oldest person here. You 90? He's here. Mom's not here. She's got him by about a year and a half, but he's the oldest. I don't care if you're 90 or if you're however old you are, 12. We can probably raise money to help you go on that Dominican trip if you want to go. The means is here to do it. We just got to make up our mind to do it. So it's January. We've got 5 months. So you be praying about it. It's kind of strange to me that the host assembly don't have too many plans about going, and our sister assembly is so excited about it, they all want to go. Well, also, you know, but I will say this. Y'all have been very faithful to support the work over there. And I realize everybody can't, you know, get off work at that time or it may hinder you from going. But I will tell you this, whoever goes, I'll promise you, you'll come back changed. It'll change your life. And you will never regret going to the Dominican Republic. I have never seen anybody that's ever went over there. In fact, every trip I've ever made, I've come back thanking God I'm glad I went on this trip because it blessed me so. I never go over there. In fact, anybody that's ever went over there with you will tell you that I break down in almost every service because it's just so amazing what God is doing among them people. It just never ceases to amaze me, the covering and what God is doing with those people over there. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that to you and encourage you that if you can go on the Dominican trip, we'll pray about it. And if God makes a way, you know, well, then you ought to go. Hallelujah. All right, let's all stand. Tara's here again. See, I remembered your name. All right, we're glad you're here. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, thank you for the youth in our church and their vision, their zeal for you, oh God. Use them. Hallelujah. Keep them encouraged, Lord, and use them for your glory. Oh God, touch those that couldn't be here today and that are sick in their bodies or and those that are away from home, protect them in their travels. Watch over them. Touch Sister Elsie, Sister Wilkins, and Sister Weiniger. Touch her body, oh God. These that are sick, help them, oh God, we pray. Amen, amen. All right. Shake hands with one another and be friendly.